Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather again today to worship you and praise you. We want to thank you for bringing us safely through another week. We want to thank you for blessing us with yet another day of life. And we want to thank you most of all for blessing us with the gift of eternal life. Father, we come today to celebrate the glorious resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your one and only Son to die for our sins. And we praise you, Lord, because Jesus did not stay dead in the grave, but he rose again, giving us hope not only for this life, but for eternity. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you are a God who is so personal and close to each one of us. Thank you for coming to this earth to live among us, to identify with us. Lord Jesus, we have a God who knows what we go through, because you have experienced life just like us. Thank you for coming to show us how to live and to show us how to love. Lord Jesus, we celebrate and worship you today, our risen King. Lord, may we hear your voice very clearly today as we get into your word. Would you encourage us in these very challenging and difficult times? Would you let us sense your loving presence and peace? Would you calm our hearts and minds and help us to focus on you? Lord, we pray for a mighty move of your Spirit throughout the world today. Would you bring an end to the virus that has changed lives in such a dramatic way? Would you touch and heal those who are struggling with the virus right now? Would you comfort those who have lost loved ones? Would you bring about a great restoration for those who have lost so much? Father, we pray that you would heal the sick and comfort the weary and suffering. May those who feel lost and alone sense your love and presence. And may those who are living in darkness be drawn to the light and to the true hope that is found only in you. We pray this in the mighty, powerful, and matchless name of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so thankful that we can join today to celebrate the marvelous resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's proclaim and lift up his name together. I encourage you right now, wherever you're at, to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Lord Jesus, you are our living hope. Lord Jesus, you are our victory. Lord Jesus, you are risen. You are risen indeed. We're living in unprecedented times, times like we have never experienced before. The worldwide spread of the Corona-19 virus has impacted our lives in ways that we couldn't have imagined. Our lives have changed so drastically in such a short period of time. And a number of people are now saying, life's never going to be the same again. Our world will be so different after this virus. Over 1 million people globally have been impacted personally, directly by this virus. There have been over 400,000 plus cases in the United States, with over 12,000 deaths in the U.S. alone, and many more thousands around the world. This virus has not been discriminating either. It's impacted persons of every age, background, and economic level. No one is safe, and no one is beyond this virus. That's why our national, state, and local leaders and our medical professionals have stressed staying at home and physical distancing. Many of us are praying for our loved ones who are on the front lines as healthcare professionals, the doctors, the nurses, and the other medical staff. Many of us have family and friends who are essential workers, and we're deeply concerned in praying for their safety, their health, and well-being. So many in our world fear the worst. They're full of anxiety and fear and worry. They don't know where to turn. They're looking for answers, but there seems to be none. There's no known cure or vaccination for this virus. So many people in our world are feeling desperate, thinking all hope is lost. That's how the disciples and the other men and women who followed Jesus must have felt after Jesus had been brutally beaten and so cruelly crucified and put to death on that Good Friday 2,000 years ago. The man who they had followed was no longer alive, The one who claimed to be the Messiah, the one who claimed to be their God, their Savior, was now lying dead in a grave. They must have been thinking, what will we do now? Who will we turn to? All who had loved and followed and served Jesus must have been experiencing a deep sense of loss and grief, and maybe even feelings of abandonment. All hope of ever seeing Jesus again seemed to be gone. Yet in the midst of that hopeless situation, God did an amazing and miraculous thing. The Lord Jesus rose 3 days after his death on the cross, just as he said. And on that first Easter morning, Jesus, the one who is God incarnate, God fully revealed to us, proclaimed total victory over sin, death, Satan, and hell. And it's because of our Lord Jesus' resurrection that we celebrate Easter today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's a truth that we need to wrap our minds around. It's a truth to be believed and accepted. It's a truth that it'll totally transform our lives. If you will turn with me in your Bibles right now to John chapter 20, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Starting with verse 1. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and was there first and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scriptures said he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to my Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. It was the dawn of a brand new day, a day that changed the world forever. Very early on that morning, just 3 days after the cruel crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus, Mary and several other women who were fully devoted followers of Jesus headed to the garden tomb to anoint Jesus' body with the burial spices that they had prepared the evening before. These women had given their lives to follow the radical rabbi, the revolutionary man, the man named Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. They had followed him to Galilee and had faithfully supported him in his ministry. They had sought to become just like him, loving and compassionate, a friend to all. These women had been faithful even when Jesus' disciples had fled. They had remained at the cross. They had watched Joseph of Arimathea lovingly take Jesus' body down from the cross. These women had followed Joseph and Nicodemus to the garden tomb, sitting there at the tomb as these men prepared Jesus' body for burial. They had watched as the great stone was rolled across the entrance of the tomb. Mary and these other women were silent witnesses to all that had happened on that day that Jesus died. And now they made their way to the tomb that morning with hearts full of sorrow, desiring to show their love and devotion for one last time to their beloved Messiah, to their beloved rabbi, their loving master. When they arrived at the tomb, Mary noticed that the stone was rolled away. Fearing the worst, she ran to the disciples' secret hiding place and she reported what happened. She says in John 20 and verse 3, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." In Luke 24, we read that the disciples didn't believe Mary's report. They thought it was just a bunch of nonsense. But Peter and John must have thought that there was something to this story. They wanted to see for themselves what had taken place. So they got up and ran as fast as they could to the tomb. Peter and John were literally in a race to see who could get there first. Now, John was the only disciple to witness Jesus' crucifixion along with Mary and the other women. He was younger than Peter, and he actually arrived at the tomb. He outran Peter to the tomb. Being the first to reach the tomb, he stooped and looked in, but he didn't go in. He's probably trying to catch his breath. As he looked in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, exactly where the dead body of Jesus had been lying. Just then, Peter came and he immediately went into the tomb. Just like John, he saw the linen cloths lying there and he saw the cloth that covered Jesus' head. It had been neatly wound up and folded. Both Peter and John saw the clear evidence of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was alive. The stone was rolled away. And it was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let Mary and the disciples in. And as for the burial cloths, if someone would have stolen Jesus' body, which is the story that the religious leaders were beginning to promote, then these burial cloths wouldn't have been there. Obviously, Jesus' body had come directly straight out of those burial cloths, and they were left there in the tomb as evidence. Everything pointed to the truth that Jesus was alive, that he had risen from the dead. Peter and John were truly amazed because John says that up until this point, they hadn't realized that the scripture said that Jesus would rise from the dead. But now it began to all make sense. In John chapter 20, verses 8 through 9, we see that John finally went into the tomb and he saw and he believed. When he saw the empty tomb and he saw the burial cloths, he immediately believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. He now remembered that the scripture said that Jesus would rise from the dead. He would rise again. Just like John, we need to see and believe. We need to accept the fact that Jesus' resurrection is real, that he's truly alive. Now, people who hear about the resurrection for the first time may need some time to comprehend this incredible yet true story. Like Mary and the disciples, they may need to pass through four different stages before they believe, before they can believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let me share the four stages with you. First, there's the stage of disbelief. At first, people may find it impossible to believe. Just like the disciples, it may sound like nonsense to them. Really? Can a dead person come back to life again? That's just not possible. But then, like Peter, they may want to know more, seeking to check out the facts about the resurrection for themselves. So they begin to look at the evidence. Could this be true? Could this be real? That's when they discover that the evidence does point them to the reality of the resurrection. And then there's an encounter. When a person realizes who Jesus is, who he claimed to be, and when they realize that he is alive, they begin to understand the good news. The good news that God is an amazing and loving God who created us to be in a relationship with him, never wanting us to live life apart from him. And they realize that this relationship is possible because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. Jesus sacrificed himself for us so that we could have and experience real life in him. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And then once a person understands who Jesus really is, and once they realize and recognize their spiritual condition and their need to be in a relationship with him, they surrender their lives totally and completely to him. They have saw and they believed, and now they are committing to loving and obeying and worshiping and serving him both now and for eternity. And that's exactly what happened a number of years ago in the life of a dear sister in Christ named Soon. Soon and her husband George grew up and both went to college and medical school in southern Louisiana. They both knew about Christianity and about Jesus and about the resurrection, but they had a hard time because of their medical training, their medical background. They had a hard time coming to terms with the actual resurrection itself. How can a person who has died come back to life again? It just didn't make sense. Having been invited to church by family and friends, Soon saw the importance of raising and bringing up her kids in church. So as she attended Bible studies and as she attended worship, she began her journey through those four different stages of belief. At first, she found it almost impossible to believe in the resurrection itself, but she wanted to be open-minded and she began to seriously seek to know more. Finally, about a year or so later, everything began to make sense. On a Sunday, the light bulb went off. The dots were connected. And it was on that day that she encountered Jesus. It was on that day that Jesus became real to her and she placed her full faith and trust in him. She said, I finally realized that I couldn't, humanly speaking, figure out the resurrection. I had to accept it by faith. I had to take that step of faith, and when I did, Jesus changed my life forever. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? There are many in our world today who know the facts about Jesus, his life, and his resurrection, but they've never placed their faith and trust in him. They have an intellectual knowledge. They have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart knowledge. They don't have a real relationship with him. Today, do you believe in the resurrection and the life? Do you believe in the risen Lord? Do you believe in the resurrected Jesus? Yes, it's important to believe that the resurrection took place, because without it, we would have no hope for life and for eternity. But what's most important, what's required of us, is to believe, to place our full faith and trust in the one who is the resurrection and the life. And the good news is this: to come to faith in Jesus, we aren't required to know all there is about the Bible and theology and Christianity, but we are required to believe in who Jesus is and that he did rise from the dead, that he is alive. Have you wrapped your mind around the truth, around the fact that Jesus is alive? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? It's not hard. In fact, this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. I urge you today to take that step of faith and make the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. You'll never be the same again. Now, after seeing what had happened at the tomb, Peter and John, they went home. But Mary Magdalene, she had come back to the tomb and she remained there and she wept. Her grief was unbearable. She had lost her precious teacher and friend, the one who had literally changed her life. Mary was generous. She was a generous, courageous, and faithful follower of Jesus. She had come to know and follow him early in his ministry. She had been totally transformed by his power and his love. He had set her free from the bondage of her sin, and he had delivered her from the torment of being possessed by seven demons. She was forever grateful to Jesus, and his deep love for her, and now he was gone. In that moment, Mary felt helpless. She had been thinking, she may have been thinking, how dare they take the body of our beloved Lord? What could they have done with it? What could they have done with the precious body of our Yeshua, our Jesus? And as she wept, she bent over and she looked into the tomb, and there she saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the feet of where Jesus had been lying. And they asked her, "Why are you weeping?" And she responded, "I'm weeping because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." Then in the midst of Mary's, what it seemed like a hopeless and a desperate situation, Jesus showed up. Mary must have sensed that there was someone behind her because she turned and she looked. She noticed a person standing there, but she had no idea who it was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Not recognizing Jesus in his voice, thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've taken him away, please tell me where you put him, and I'll go and get him." Why didn't Mary recognize Jesus? Well, there are several possibilities. She had experienced a tremendous shock in her life. It was possibly also not very light outside still, and Mary's eyes were filled with tears. Most importantly, it probably never entered her mind that Jesus could be alive, that the resurrection had literally taken place. So the idea that she might be talking to a living Jesus never occurred to her. Mary was looking for a dead body. She didn't expect to be talking to the risen Lord. And you know, the same thing can happen to us. When we focus on our problems, on our hardships, on our sufferings, on our worries, on our concerns, we miss Jesus a lot of times. He's there, but we don't recognize him because we're focused on ourselves, our problems, our fears, our worries, and our concerns. But I want to encourage you, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of our suffering, Jesus is there. He's with us through all the storms that we face in our life. And I can tell you today, he's definitely with us in the midst of this current storm, the COVID-19 crisis. I want to encourage you that whatever state you find yourself in today, know that Jesus is there with you. He knows what you're going through. He cares. And he's calling out to you right now by name, by your name. Do you see him? Do you hear him? Do you recognize his voice? Do you sense his loving presence and peace with you right now at this moment? Just like Mary, Jesus knows your name. You're so precious to him. He loves you. He cares about what you're going through, and he promises to be with you. You see, the Lord promises never to leave us or forsake us. And even when we feel like he's not there with us, even when we feel like maybe he's even abandoned us, he's still with us. This is what I want to encourage you to do today. Look up and listen. Lift your eyes and look to Jesus. Begin to focus on him. And your whole perspective on things will change. What you thought was a hopeless situation will no longer appear hopeless. Why? Because Jesus, our resurrected King and Lord, is able to work and move and do abundantly more than we could ask for, imagine, or even dream of. And that's a fact. You can believe that. Because Mary didn't recognize Jesus at first, he had to speak to her for a second time, calling her by name again before she realized who it was. Mary, no random gardener would have known her name. This person knew her name. And at that moment, a terrible tragedy turned into a tremendous triumph. She turned and looked at Jesus. This is what she said. "Rabboni, teacher, master, it's you. It's really you. You're alive. You really are alive." Let me share an important note here. Mary Magdalene was the first person to witness that Jesus was truly alive. Jesus didn't reveal himself first to Peter and John. He spoke first to Mary. Jesus was always breaking down barriers. Jesus spoke first to a woman who had experienced great sin and spiritual bondage in her life. You see, Jesus wanted everyone to know that he had come for all people. He didn't just come for a select group of religious leaders. Jesus wanted everyone to know that the gospel is for everyone. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you and he wants you to come into a personal relationship with him. Jesus wanted it known to everyone that they can come to him and experience his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and real life. Mary had been looking for the dead body of her teacher. And suddenly, to her amazement, she stood face to face with her living Lord. Immediately, she grabbed hold of Jesus. And apparently, she didn't want to let him go when she had found him. She didn't want to lose him again. She wanted Jesus to stay with her. But the Lord Jesus said to Mary, Mary, you can't cling to me. You can't hold on to me. You can't keep me to yourself. Mary, I've got work to do, and so do you. And I have a message for you, an important message for you to share with the disciples, with my disciples. Mary, go and find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And that's exactly what Mary did. Joyfully and with obedience, she found the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. And she shared Jesus' message with them. And it's important for us to understand the message that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. Prior to his death, Jesus had called his disciples his friends. But because of the resurrection, Jesus' disciples had now become his brothers. The awesome resurrection of Jesus had created a new level of friendship, a new level of relationship. Fully devoted followers of Jesus were no longer just friends. They were family. We are family. Now, if we have wrapped our minds around the truth that Jesus is alive, if we've truly experienced the truth, that truth in our lives, then we have a great message to share with the world. I've seen the Lord. I believed in him, and he's changed my life forever. As followers of Jesus, we're called to live new and different lives. We've been called out of the darkness into his glorious light. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. We can face the next day and the day after that. We have hope. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have victory. Jesus is our victory. Jesus won that freedom and that victory for us on the cross. Peter shares with us in 1 Peter Chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, new life, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you know what? Peter himself had witnessed firsthand the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what happened on that first Easter Sunday, we now have real hope. Because Jesus rose from the dead. That's a fact. That's the truth. And it proves that he is who he said he was and is. It proves that he is our Savior and our Lord. He's our Master and our King, our Creator, our everything. The Lord Jesus Christ truly is our living hope. Today, I want to encourage you to focus on Jesus and the truth that he is alive. Jesus is alive. And if we placed our full faith and trust in him, he's living in us. Today, we're living in a world that's looking for answers. We live in a world that's desperate, a world that's hurting, a world that needs hope, real hope. And we have what they're looking for. We have the one who is our living hope, the one who can give them real hope, real peace, and real life. Let's do our very best to share Jesus with them. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I want to ask you today, have you seen Jesus? Do you know him? Have you personally experienced the power of his resurrection in your life? Have you been changed? Have you been transformed? Do you know and understand the depths of his love for you? Have you placed your full faith and trust in him, not only for this life, but for eternity? If you know Jesus, then he has transformed your life. You're no longer the same person anymore. Jesus has become your life. Because Jesus is alive, because he's changed your life, you have the most important message to share with the world. Are you sharing the truth? Are you sharing the fact that Jesus is alive? Are you sharing the truth that Jesus is our living hope? And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him, what a wonderful day to come into a personal relationship with him on this Easter Sunday. Jesus is inviting you today. I encourage you to give your life to him today. Take that step of faith, that necessary step of faith. And when you do, he will come and save you. He will forgive you. He will set you free to live a life of hope in him, the one who is our living hope. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you today. Lord Jesus, we proclaim, we lift you up as our living hope, as the resurrection and as the life. And for those of us who do know you, Lord, we want to proclaim that truth to the world, to all that is around us. We want to bring hope in what seems to be a hopeless situation that our world is in right now, Father. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to work and move in the lives of those who need to come to know you. May they come to real faith in you and come to know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you are our living hope. We praise you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name, the name of our risen and living Lord. Amen.